Well, Alan, the smallest driver has been the biggest story this week here in the Nationwide Garage. 5'2", 100-pound Danica Patrick has been swarmed by media and fans alike as she's prepared to make her NASCAR debut here today at Daytona.
IndyCar's biggest star made a move in 2010 that shocked the racing world. Danica Patrick was going to race stock cars. The six-time IndyCar most popular driver was scheduled to race 13 Nationwide Series races in 2010. So how did she do? Well, today she is mostly remembered for crashing and lacking speed in general. In this video, we're going to take a look through her NASCAR career and find out if she really was as bad as she's remembered. Just before the video starts, make sure you leave a like if you enjoy and subscribe so you don't miss an upload. Anyways, let's get into the video. 2010 was set to be a busy year for 28-year-old Danica Patrick. She was going to race the full IndyCar season while competing in the Nationwide Series whenever her schedule allowed. She also started the season opener in ARCA with this incredible save in her stock car debut.
Nelson Piquet Jr. forces her down off the racetrack. Look at this ride through the grass she has.
I'll tell you, this right here is car control. Now that's something that you got it or you don't. And that's impressive right there to get that car that far out of shape, hang on to it, not hit the wall. Tony Jr. helped her a lot.
She raced in the first three races of the Nationwide season before IndyCar season kicked off. She raced in four more races throughout the middle of the season, but after IndyCar's finale on October 2nd, Danica was free to race the final six races of the Nationwide season. Her performances were pretty rough, only finishing on the lead lap once all season, and recording one top 25 finish in her first eight races, mostly due to crashes. She did improve over her last five races and recorded four finishes inside the top 22, and saved her best race for last, a 19th place finish on the lead lap in the season finale after starting fifth. On paper, her season wasn't impressive at all, but she had never ran a stock car before and the series was full of drivers who grew up oval racing. So in reality, I think she managed pretty well in the 2010 season. 2011 was much of the same for Danica, racing 12 races this year except for one small difference. She was much more competitive. After keeping it clean with 14th and 17th place finishes in the first two races, the third race of the season showed Danica's potential. She came across the line in 4th place at Las Vegas. This certainly turned heads, and she backed it up with two more top 10s in back-to-back entries at Chicagoland and Daytona. Six races, one top 5, and three top 10s looked amazing on paper compared to her first year. It looked like Danica was finally figuring out the cars, but she unfortunately didn't score another top 10 in her last six races of the year. But she managed to finish the year with a 17.4 average finish compared to a 28.0 the year before. She also completed almost 97% of the laps she competed in, which is very important to young drivers. In August 2011, it was reported Danica was in the final stages of negotiations for a full-time Nationwide Series ride in Junior Motorsports. With rumors of an informal agreement to race for Stewart Haas Racing part-time in 2012 and full-time in 2013. Both of these deals came to fruition with high hopes for Danica in 2012.
Yeah, one other car besides her has done that. She was only 2/100ths off of what Hornish ran on that first lap, but has him beat by a substantial amount right now.
Yeah, she's going to break his heart right here.
You heard the conversation from Dave with Danica earlier about the pole. Said she had a car that was going to give it a shot. And there is the new leader in qualifying, Danica Patrick.
Danica's season started with a bang, sitting on the pole at Daytona, but unfortunately it was all downhill from there. She was involved in a crash on lap 50, taking her out of contention and ultimately finished 38th. She also raced in the Daytona 500, but wrecked in not only her dual race, but on the first lap of the Daytona 500.
Matt Kenseth and Carl Edwards, 3-4. Oh, Harlow already the wall. Slams to the outside. It's five-time champion Joe. He collects Danica Patrick and the 34 of David Reagan.
Danica was pretty consistent through the season doing two things. Crashing, and when she wasn't crashing, she consistently ran just outside the top 10. She cleaned up her driving the last third of the season, finishing the last 11 races. She even finished in the top 10 two of the last four races, but she only managed four top 10s all season. She finished the season nearly 400 points behind teammate Elliott Sadler, and had a worse average finish than Mike Bliss and Joe Nemechek, while she was in far better equipment. Her cup performances were nothing of note, but she was racing for Tommy Baldwin Racing with an SHR alliance. We won't be too harsh on her considering she was just getting her feet wet in the Cup Series. However, how can we forget this iconic moment?
Danica Patrick and Landon Castle with an extended tangle.
Well, rule number one of stock car racing is learn how to wreck someone without wrecking yourself.
Yeah.
Once again, 2013 started with a bang as she sat on pole for the Daytona 500 after joining Stuart Haas Racing, making her the first female to earn a pole in the NASCAR Cup Series. She also managed to lead 5 laps and finish 8th, so it appeared Danica had arrived. Danica would not score another top 10 all season and finished with a miserable 26.1 average finish and finished 27th in points. She finished behind David Gilliland and Casey Mears in points, not to mention every other midfield driver. Stuart Haas wasn't the powerhouse it is now, but both Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman won a race. 2014 would be a minor step forward as she started looking somewhat competitive at intermediate tracks, scoring top 10s at Atlanta and Kansas. She also scored a top 10 at Daytona in the summer. Although she was involved in several incidents, she kept it relatively clean, only wrecking out twice all season. She had a slightly better average finish, but still finished 28th in the standings. This was pretty bad considering her teammate Kevin Harvick won the championship. The beginning of the 2015 season would be the best stretch of Danica's career, where she scored top 10s at Martinsville and Bristol in the first 8 races, and sat 13th in points. However, throughout the season, she slowly dropped through the field after so many bad races and slipped to 24th in points, which was still her best points finish in NASCAR. The next year in 2016 was her most consistent season, with a 22.0 average finish, but she scored 0 top 10s all season. Her final full-time season in 2017 saw Dana take a major step back, finishing 28th in points. She scored her last career top 10 at Dover. She would return in 2018 to run the Daytona 500, but ultimately finished 35th after an early crash.
I'm good. Oh, took the wind out of Chase Elliott.
Yeah, that was
Elliott Kane. Here's violent. Danica Patrick and Kevin Harvick.
So, was Danica really as bad as we remember? Yes, absolutely. It is pretty well known that her sponsors are the only reason she made it to the Cup Series. But if she truly wanted her NASCAR career to be somewhat successful, I feel like she could have had a Michael Annette type career in the Xfinity Series. Not really ever a championship contender, but could do a good enough job and stick it in the top 10 every once in a while, and maybe be lucky enough to get a win someday. She is undoubtedly the most successful female stock car racer ever, taking part in 191 Cup Series races. However, I think the saddest part of this whole story is that if she stuck to IndyCar, I don't think it would be too far-fetched to say that she could have competed for a championship someday. Between 2006 and 2009, the years before she started racing stock cars part-time and being distracted by NASCAR, she finished 9th, 7th, 6th, and then 5th in the point standings. She was steadily getting better, and in 2009, she beat all 3 of her teammates in the final standings, including champion Tony Kanaan and longtime driver Marco Andretti. Unfortunately, her awful NASCAR career covers up the fact that she was the first female driver to win an IndyCar race and finish on the podium 7 times, including once in the Indy 500. She was absolutely no joke in the series, and given 10 more years or so in IndyCar competition, with no NASCAR distraction, she could still be racing an IndyCar and being a threat every single weekend. I really don't think that she had any chance in NASCAR though. I mean, she was competing against drivers who raced ovals their entire lives, and she started when she was 28. So I really don't think that she was a bad racer or a bad driver, just NASCAR was not really a good fit for her at all. Anyways, that's pretty much it for this video. I hope you guys did enjoy, and if you did, please remember to leave a like and subscribe, and I'll see you in the next video. Peace.